Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Feeling about this.
Yeah, Luke. I got a bad feeling about Texans and Packers on Sunday. The spread for that game, mybookie.ag, promo code bet975, Green Bay is favored by 3 points. Now, I say that for a variety of different reasons. First of all, I think that you're on the same level as the Green Bay Packers. And I think if you're playing a game on the road, you're probably going to find yourself in a spot where it's not going to go quite as easy as it did for you against the Buffalo Bills, right? It's one of those things where at home, you just get a little bit of an extra edge. Now, the injury report has yet to come out for today for the Texans and Packers, but that's the other thing here that's going on. There's injuries that the Texans are currently dealing with. Henry Toto'o and Azeez Al-Shaair, their status is up in the air. Mario Edwards is suspended. You are getting Danico Autry back from suspension, but he's 34 and he hasn't really done anything in a couple of months. He was suspended 6 weeks, and in training camp, he also wasn't doing a whole lot of practicing. So, is he going to be 100% ready to go when he's been away from the team facility all this time? I don't know if he's going to be able to play every single snap, you know? And on top of that, Kamari Lassiter is going to be out for a while. Your starting corner opposite Derek Stingley. Jimmy Ward probably going to be out too. So more Kalen Bullock, more D'Angelo Ross. Are you going to be able to hold the door against Jordan Love, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, and at running back Josh Jacobs? It's a lot. It's a lot with all of the injuries that you're dealing with. It's not to say that if both teams were at 100%, you could get it done, but we're talking about a Matt LaFleur offense that is really good at throwing play action. Love has 4 touchdown passes this year with an 132.1 passer rating off of those plays. And the Texans defense is terrible against play action. They've allowed 5 touchdown passes and a passer rating of 126.4 against that this year. Add that to the fact that you're missing some key defenders potentially, and that Jordan Love is just a guy who likes to shoot the ball down the field, which is something that you've had an issue with the entirety of the D'Amico Ryans era. I'm a little concerned about this one. I got a bad feeling about this game. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not saying the Texans can't win it, but I'm not picking the Texans to win it.
That is an interesting spot the Texans find themselves in, because I agree with a lot of the issues or a lot of the worries on when the Packers have the ball for the Texans. But again, with CJ Stroud, you have a chance. At least before the game,
correct,
you can talk yourself into, okay, then even if the defense can't get any stops or can't get enough stops, you're still going to have a chance because of what we believe about this Texans offense, even without Nico Collins, honestly. You would love to have Nico there, but without him, they still have 2 really good wide receivers that we'd be talking about as... And they won't be upper echelon like when Nico Collins is there, but we'd be talking about him as a very good wide receiver duo among the best in the league, really, with Diggs and Dell. If just Nico just wasn't on this team, we'd still be talking about that. And Love is also a guy who will turn the ball over. or at least he has turned the ball over this year. He has a game with three interceptions. I think he has another one with two.
Right.
He'll
six on the year.
Yeah, he'll give it away. So that's something where you're going to need Stingley. You're going to need Bullock. You're going to need Ross. Whoever is out there. Honestly, I have to stop naming them after that because I'm not sure who's actually going to be out there in the secondary for the Texans. But there is a chance that – or they're – I think their best chance to stop the Packers is to turn the ball over or turn their turn, yeah. make them turn the ball
you
over.
You got to force takeaways. I think you got to blitz them. And, yeah. I mean, you might end up giving up some big plays because you do it. But if you win the takeaway battle that you wanted against the Patriots, yeah, you got a great shot. But then again, it's the Patriots. It's a rookie quarterback. Yeah. It's a god-awful team with a terrible offensive line and a not very good receiving core and a not very good on the defensive side of things either, defense. So
yeah, I think the way to do it is, yeah, the more we talk about it, you have to, if you're the Texans defense, you have to be depending on the splash plays on defense. And yes, that opens you up to give up some, but I think down to down basis, I think the Packers offense is going to be better than what the Texans are trotting out there this weekend.
Yeah.
But I think they need to try to force turnovers, force sacks, force Love to not play on time. And it's a gamble, but I think that's the best way they have to stop this team.
Correct. Love's 28th in the league against the blitz, for whatever that's worth. One last note, and this is for Bobby Slowick. I would like the Texans to run the football less on Sunday. Yes, they had 200-plus yards against the Patriots, but two of them came on 50-plus yard runs, and somebody did the advanced numbers. Bottom five in the NFL in success rate, despite 200 yards rushing. Top 10 in stuff rate. So they're getting stuffed and not having success.
Yes, but the big plays, they're good. They had two big plays.
A lot of coaches will tell you, and I know Bill O'Brien would have told me this, that the little plays make the big plays happen.
Ooh.
He would compare a running offense to a battering ram in medieval warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it's going to break. You just keep on ramming, taking casualties along the way, you know. You're going to have archers that are up top shooting at you.
Picking off Lamar Miller.
Right.
Picking off Chris Polk.
You got some other guys who are up at the top. They're going to be throwing rocks down at you. That's not good if it hits you in the head. You got others. They're going to be pouring pitch on you.
Oh, yeah.
Potentially letting you on fire. Yeah. Like, it could just be boiling oil. They call them murder holes in that little area where the gate generally is, so that you could absolutely wreak havoc on these people with the battering ram. But the idea is that despite all of those bad things happening to you, is that eventually you'll get through. The casualties be damned.
Damn them. Also, I agree with Bill O'Brien on the face of the, like, when you just say it's like a battering ram, the small plays make the big plays. I'm like, yes. Then, Paul, when you were actually going through it, I was like, actually, this sucks.
Yeah.
You're not selling me on
this. The process to get there can be brutal and violent and ugly to watch.
Yeah, no, I don't want the hot oil poured on me. I don't want rocks thrown at me.
And I don't think O'Brien, when he's making that comparison, is thinking about it that way.
The tower defenses that
right.
they have?
He's not thinking about those tower defenses, which is why everyone needs a trebuchet. You need to have at least 6 to 12 trebuchets. I've played Age of Empires 2. I know what I'm doing here, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some bombard cannons, maybe.
Yeah.
And medieval Total War works.
And then you bring in the cavalry.
You don't even have ground infantry.
Yeah, just the muskets. That's not doing anything.
All cavalry.
Yeah.
Well, we got muskets, and then that's a totally different game. We can just blow a hole in the wall. You don't need the battering ram, you know? MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 for Texans and Packers. The Texans are 3-point dogs for this game in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. No Joe, just Paul on Gallant and George. Question for Paulie G. What is there to do for a single playboy and bachelor in Green Bay, Wisconsin? Well, you should go back to the show podcast and check out the 2 o'clock, or excuse me, the 1 o'clock hour of the program, hour number two, because we gave you a lot of things to do there. There's a lot. There's a lot of things up there. Just trust us.
There's a lot of things.
There's
you,
a lot.
You did name a lot of activities.
Right. Now, I don't know if they're all your cup of tea, especially if you're a single man. Like, the, for example, the family shooting range. That's for families. That's not for a single
bring
bachelor.
Your whole family to the shooting range.
Right.
The family. Bring your whole family to the family shooting range.
Yeah, what a crazy name for a location.
I cannot believe that that's the name that they went with.
But you could do the detective mystery dinner, right?
Yeah, you can.
You could go to the railroad museum.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the hobo art museum.
The hobo art exhibit. The hobo and tramp art exhibit. That's a really fun one. Another question. Ooh, this is a good one. Who's the better actor, Tom Hanks or Denzel Washington? Man.
That is tough.
So, controversial take. Are these guys actors, or are these guys people who play themselves in every single movie they're in, and people just like them a lot, so they're cool with it?
Hmm. I think they have a little bit more range. I think you're right that they kind of they stay in their same range, but then they go out of it every once in a while.
They do. I think Tom Hanks has done more. However, you could put any movie out there with Denzel and I'll watch it.
I was going to say, I don't know who's better. Is that the question? Who's better?
I think this is what makes an actor better.
Yeah, better actor.
Am I going to go see them in theaters? I am seeing Gladiator 2 the first night it's out entirely because Denzel's in that movie. 100%.
Yeah.
I saw, what was the movie that he was in with Russell Crowe, with the gangster movie? American Gangster.
American Gangster.
Wasn't even that good of a movie, but I went to see it right away.
Like, yeah.
Denzel, to me.
Two Guns with Mark Wahlberg. That's a great movie.
All of the Equalizers.
Equalizer.
Any Denzel movie. Man on Fire?
Man on Fire.
Man on Fire might be my favorite Denzel. The movie where I think he goes back in time or something like that, and he stops a bombing on a boat in New Orleans.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's so many.
Crimson Tide's a good one.
Crimson Tide. There's Philadelphia, which both Denzel and Tom
Hanks
are in.
I think that's where this happens, is Philadelphia. I think it's very close. You could talk me into Tom Hanks being better. I think I like Denzel. I like more Denzel movies than I like Tom Hanks movies.
I totally agree. Training Day, all time.
Oh, yeah, Training
Day. Oh, my God. It's so good. But here's a take. Best actor ever? Gary Oldman.
Okay.
Gary Oldman blends into any role that he's in, and it takes you a little bit of time to say, oh, that's Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
And he's been in so many things.
He has. Commissioner Gordon. Sirius Black, the guy from Fifth Element.
It took me, I didn't even know he was Sirius Black for like 7 years later. And then I was like, wait, that was Gary Oldman?
Same. I actually didn't know that
I was like, who's this random guy? He's a pretty good actor.
Yeah, this English actor that they got to play Sirius Black. All right.
All right. So here we go. Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can ask me anything on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. And up next, we pick the six best games of the football weekend, then pick them against the spread with lines from mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Stick around, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one! Unbelievable! He is gone! Kiss McKinney!
But Paul Gallant and Joe George are going to pick six games.
There's six.
Pick six.
Well, that's got pick six written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
We picked the six best games of the college football and NFL weekend. And then we pick them against the spread. On the year, third place between the three of us. No Joe today. Me. From 17 and 19. Been doing better of late, but had a rough start to the year. Joe is at 500, 18 and 18. And Sean Mapes, first place, 20 and 16. Congratulations.
Hey, still long season.
It's true. It's a marathon and not a sprint.
Not a sprint.
230 on ABC. number 7 Alabama against number 11 Tennessee. Bama, a 3-point favorite. Joe is taking Tennessee in this game. As always, I refuse to pick Tennessee. I hate them. And I know that Alabama's been rather shaky the last 2 weeks. Tennessee barely beat Florida last week. So I guess, who's more in line for a get-right game between these two teams? I'm going to say Alabama every single time. So I'm taking Bama. Roll Tide by 3.
This is a tough one because you're right. These are two teams that I don't really believe in. These are two teams that coming into the season, I thought of them way higher. And I held them in way higher estimation than I do right now, especially how both of them played the last couple weeks. So with that being said, I think I'll just take Tennessee because I'm getting points there.
Gotcha.
I don't believe in them. I'll take the home team getting points. That's all I got.
I think the loser's out of the college football playoff. This is more of a...
Probably, yeah.
This is a... Okay.
Or it's a, you better win all your games. You better look really good winning all your games and hope for some carnage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Milroe, I guess, is the better quarterback in this game. DeBoer is good in big game, but I'll still take Tennessee at home. They want it more. This is a game 2 years ago where they threw the uprights into the into the river.
True.
So yeah, give me Tennessee here.
3:15. I will say the college football slate, the other games that I saw were lacking. I'm intrigued by this game because I want to know if A&M has it in them to blow out 2 SEC teams in a row. They had the bye week last week. 18-point favorites, the Texas A&M Aggies on the road against the Mississippi State Bulldogs. I'm not going there yet. I think the Bulldogs cover. I think A&M wins. I think the Bulldogs cover. This is prime letdown spot for A&M. There's too much gas going on with them, and I don't know that I want to hear it quite yet, though they do deserve credit for the way that they beat Missouri, and it does feel like maybe they've finally figured out how to make Connor Wigman work.
Yeah.
But I got to see it another week before I'm saying they're going to be blowing teams out every single week by 2 to 3 scores or so.
Yeah, yeah. It's one thing to be like, I think Texas A&M is good. It's another thing to be like, 3 touchdowns, lay them. Like that's another level. And a Mississippi State team that, hey, last week went to Georgia and hung in there, only lost by 10 to the Bulldogs. They played Texas in Austin, and it was a pretty close game for the first half. A lot of that was just Texas shooting itself in the foot. But they do have a funky enough offense to where you have to actually go out there and do it. And I think Georgia probably overlooked them a little bit, probably wasn't 100% focused. I wonder what if A&M has that in them, like you said, just to do, like, to put away a team, not win, to bury a team a week after having an off week and getting your ass kicked all week, or kissed all week. So give me Mississippi State.
I think the average informed Aggie is expecting somewhat of a letdown, not necessarily a loss, but a game that is annoying and sloppy and gross.
Yeah, agree.
Biggest game of Saturday, 6:30 on ABC. Number 5 Georgia heads to Austin to take on number 1 Texas. Texas 5-point favorites. It's been forever since Georgia was an underdog in any game. I think Texas is going to win this by a lot. I think there's a lot of bad vibes in this game. First off, and I know this has nothing to do with actual football, but they can't even bring their abomination of a mascot, Ugga. Yeah,
the dog thing's bad.
Oh, he's scared of Bevo. No, it's just travel logistics. Sure. I mean, Bevo did try to kill Ugga last time. But also, I just think it's bad vibes that the Grand Prix is in Austin the same day as Georgia and all of their illegal street racer wannabe players.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a distraction. I think there's a moment in this game where they might hear a vroom and their mind will wander, even if this Grand Prix is miles from the stadium.
No, yeah, there'd probably be and during one of the breaks, they'll have a driver out there, like, hey, waving to the crowd. They have Daniel Ricciardo, maybe, out there. He has nothing better to do. He just got fired. to explain that joke. I agree. There is a little bit of Georgia of just, like, they're used to big games, heart of the champion kind of stuff, where it's like, I don't know if they go quite out so sad as to just get, like, their ass kicked in Texas. But the more I think about it, I do think Texas at home, it's going to be probably a top five atmosphere since like 2010 at one of these games. Like, it's this and the Alabama game from a couple years ago, the Notre Dame game from 2016. Like, there's really a handful of big games at DKR that will probably even come close to this. So, yeah, I got to go Texas. I think they can win by a touchdown.
Sean, by the way, for those who don't know, is wearing a foam.
Yes.
Burnt orange bullhead.
If you're on the YouTube or watching on Twitter or Twitch, it would be a weird visual for me to pick Georgia dressed the way I am.
Yeah, it would be.
So I do feel pretty good about this.
I think Texas wins by 3 scores. So you got him covering. We all have Texas winning and covering.
Oh, yeah. Joe sent his picks in.
Joe picked A&M and Texas.
Yeah,
he picked his last two games.
Tennessee, A&M, and Texas.
NFL action. Let's go. Lions at the Vikings. The Vikings 1.5-point favorites. Justin Jefferson owns the Lions. Excuse me. Yeah, he owns the Lions. He has more receiving yards in 8 games against the Lions than any receiver has against any other team in 8 games. And I don't really like these Lions vibes where Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery are calling themselves Sonic and Knuckles. I know that has little to do with the game. I do really like the Lions, but losing Aiden Hutchinson, going up against a Vikings team that just had a bye week, that defensively is so damn good, I feel like they can keep it close. The real question is, are the Lions the defense that's going to make Sam Darnold biff all over the place? I think the Vikings stay undefeated. I'm taking the Vikings here.
I agree. I also am going with the Vikings, and it's really what you said. Honestly, it could be as simple as if Aiden Hutchinson was out there, I'd feel better about
them. I agree.
I'd feel better about the Lions defense. But first game without Aiden Hutchinson, I can't go with the Lions. And they're before he went down, they already had a suspect defense. Now it's even more suspect. So, yeah, give me Minnesota. Keep the ball rolling.
325, Fox. Joe took the Lions, by the way.
Yes, Joe took the Lions.
Chiefs at 49ers. San Francisco, 1.5-point favorites. Interesting.
That is interesting.
Just given the things that they are dealing with. Kyle Shanahan had his players watching Super Bowl 58, which the Chiefs just beat the 49ers in couple of months ago. But he's also saying that we can't get caught up in history with the Chiefs this week. They are such a big brother to the 49ers. I do think the 49ers are going to come out here approaching it as if it is their Super Bowl. The problem is Kansas City is coming off of a bye week, and they seem to be figuring out what they need to do with the very many injuries that they are dealing with. I can't in good conscience pick against the Chiefs until they actually lose. And 1.5-point dogs against a San Francisco 49ers team that's got a lot of injuries. I am taking the Chiefs.
Yeah, I normally would go with the Niners, just as Chiefs kind of been getting away with it for most of this year. Niners really need the win, that kind of thing. But just I don't feel good about this Niners team. Like you said, the injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, even like no McCaffrey still. Like, this is just a very different kind of team. And one thing to remember, Kansas City coming off the bye week. The trend that's been probably like the stat that's most beaten into my head for an NFL team, or in an NFL coach in this case, Andy Reid off the bye. It's something like 25-5 or something.
Damn.
He's like,
I know that.
Yeah, when you count like all the playoff games and the Super Bowls,
that's
like
true.
He has a crazy off the bye record. So give me the Chiefs in this one as well. So all three of us are going with the Chiefs.
Okay. Last game, Sunday, noon, Jim Nance, Tony Romo. Oh,
okay.
What?
That was not a Romo-gasm. That was a...
Jordan Love. Jordan Love. CJ Stroud.
Dubs.
Look, I want to pick the Texans in this game. I want to swarm up a storm right here, but it's a road game against a team that just, I think, is a bad matchup for them. They like to throw the ball deep. Texans give up a lot of big plays. Texans got a lot of injuries on defense. Texans are bad against the play action. The Packers are the best at the play action. You're not very good at running the football. I hope I am wrong here, but I think that the Packers win. And I think that they win by a touchdown.
Yeah, I agree. As we talk it out, I can see a path for the Texans to win. I just don't see it as very likely with the injuries kind of piling up, and especially just piling up on that side of the ball for the Texans. The linebackers, Matt LaFleur. I think Matt LaFleur is going to notice that Hewitt is starting at linebacker for the Texans and not Al-Shaair or even Toa Toa. No Lassiter too, with all those weapons that the Packers have. Edwards out, even though Autry's in, Edwards still being out. It's just so many little things adding up.
Correct.
That make me not feel very confident in this. So yes, I'm also going Green Bay.
Do have a comment here from Xron on the Twitch. Ye of no faith, CJ is God's quarterback, and they going to win.
We haven't talked enough about how he was anointed by God to start week one,
right?
His rookie year.
Let's play that audio again in the next segment.
Okay.
Yeah, there is a part of me that if you've ever watched the movie Kingdom of Heaven, there's this hardo priest that whenever people are saying rational, pragmatic things, he holds up his hand and he goes, blasphemy, 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 just like that. And I feel like Xron is doing that right there. But yeah, and look, there is a bunch of things that you can do in Green Bay, which is hosting next year's NFL draft. And I don't know, maybe that's something that CJ Stroud is going to do. Maybe he's going to go to this one spot where I believe somebody actually saw an image of Mary, mother of old JC, in the woods in 1858, Wisconsin. Yeah, I'm not kidding. This is an actual shrine that you can go to. It's been officially recognized by the Pope. So if you're into that, that's a thing you can do in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're doing Ask Alon Anything Friday. One question before we move on to the next segment, and you get to hear CJ Stroud talk about his journey to being a starting quarterback. Eric the Driver asks, what is the best Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
Oh.
Embrace debate. I'm going to let this one marinate. You guys can answer this
after
too.
The break.
After the break. We give our official answers on that. And CJ Stroud. He has been chosen. Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You can jump in on that website, and as soon as you enter that promo code, you know what happens? They're going to double your deposit immediately. And you can bet on so many different things, like all of those games we just talked about right now at mybookie.ag. All of those games are there. Maybe you're crazy and you want to do the Pauly Parlay. How about this? You pick Bama, Mississippi State, Texas, the Vikings, Chiefs, and Packers. The Pauly Parlay. Maybe you do the Fade Pauly Parlay. You can do all of that at mybookie.ag. You can even bet on the election at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Texans and Packers on Sunday. I think the Packers are going to win. the spread, Packers by 3, mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. I just think that it's a bad matchup for the Texans, so I have a bad feeling about it. If this game was at NRG Stadium, I think I would be picking the Texans for what it's worth, but this is a tricky one. And while the Texans did have a nice road win last year, probably their signature win of the regular season over Joe Burrow and the Bengals, it's a different team this year, and they're dealing with a lot of injuries, specifically in the secondary, against a team that's very good at bombing the ball deep. You're already not very good at that. And this is, I think, going to be a shootout. And in a year where C.J. Stroud's been turning the football over more, even if Jordan Love turns the football over, it does stand to reason that against the most takeaway-happy team in the league, that Stroud might have a couple more of those. But, hey, you want to talk me off of that ledge? You can. Maybe C.J. Stroud is the chosen one. You know, we were talking about some of the things that you can see in Green Bay. There is a place where you can go and see a shrine where back in the 1850s, a Belgian immigrant apparently saw Mary. So that's fun. It's recognized by the Pope. And it had us thinking about a lot of things. People are texting in, I saw Jesus in a tortilla once. Well, good for you. Another person said, I saw it in a garage screen door. Well,
wow.
You can see a lot of things in a lot of different places.
That is true.
And C.J. Stroud saw his journey to being a starting quarterback as something that was chosen by the man upstairs, as was Jordan Love's.
I think God puts you in a situation or, you know, puts you through things, you know, for a specific reason. And I feel like maybe for Jordan, he wanted him to see the field and, you know, learn from Aaron and, you know, being able to just be a sponge and, you know, suck up just a lot of information. And for me, God, I thought that the best thing for me was just go out there and you know, play, you know, fail, you know, make mistakes. And, you know, I definitely, you know that my journey was a lot of those ups and downs. And, you know, I think, you know, everybody, you know, we have our own identity, our own names for a reason. So I definitely feel like it's been a blessing just to be able to, you know, learn my journey and then also look at his and, you know, look like, man, he's doing pretty well. So, you know, I think it's just a testament to whoever's watching, like, who's trying to get to our positions is like, no matter what route you're in or like, you know, if that's early, you're playing early, getting early offers early, or if you're, you know, have to sit and wait a little bit, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, you'll get what you deserve.
I'm happy that C.J. Stroud has a lot of faith. As someone who was raised Catholic, just to get into a little religion conversation, I don't believe in the idea of predestination, which I know is a Calvinist belief. Look at Paul, knowing a little thing too about religion. And I would like to think that God does not give a damn about who is starting at quarterback as a rookie versus who's sitting
and when they start
behind the scenes.
Drake May, just wait a couple weeks.
Maybe that is his biggest priority. Maybe that's all he thinks about.
Hey, listen, he is all powerful and all knowing. So,
Paul, how dare you? You know that I purposefully made Tom Brady wait a year because you would be at that game and see him play and then become the greatest sports broadcaster of all time. Yeah, I'm kidding. I would just say to that, relax. Relax a little bit, CJ, okay? That's it.
It's just so funny, too. Like,
it's not Ray Lewis, as Ryan Lawson, Texas, saying no weapon formed against CJ. It's not Ray Lewis speaking in tongues like he is the Tower of Babel. No weapon, no weapon. I touched the Kobe Jones on his chest. God rest his soul. And he scored a touchdown in the Superdome to win us the Super Bowl. Like, it's not that. Damn. You know what? I feel like we got to stay away from religion. There's a thunderstrike happening out of nowhere. Anyway, hey, Ask Alon Anything Friday.
Oh, we have to pay off the teeth.
What's the best Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? This is a tricky one. I got to say, I love every single Arnold movie.
There's so many good ones.
Get to the chopper! I mean, Terminator 2 is the best sequel, I think, ever. You can fight me on that. I think Godfather Part 2 is a little bit overrated. Yeah. I think it drags.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
That one wasn't good. 2 and 3 aren't good. It gets better once they got away from realism. Empire Strikes Back, great sequel, but Terminator 2, my Mount Rushmore of Arnold movies. Predator.
Yeah.
Predator is fantastic. And this is where it gets tricky, because there's a lot that are on about the same level. Commando has the best one-liners. Commando is campy, stupid, and it's just one-liner after one-liner after one-liner, and violence and violence and violence and violence. There's also True Lies. True Lies, very well done.
You still haven't gotten to my number one. Which proves, which
I think I know
show.
It. I think I know it. Total Recall.
Yes, Total Recall is my favorite.
Total Recall.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't know what it is about the special effects from that movie, but they just aged not well, and yet
but well.
It's a very fun watch.
Because the whole, I mean, not to go, Sean, I took a film class in college on you, but it's because the whole idea of the movie is that you don't know what's real and what's fake, and that it's so much of it could be imagined.
Right.
And so that the fact that everything is kind of uncanny, like the special effects is so uncanny, actually does work in that way, where it fits the kind of overall theme of the movie. Okay, sorry, film class is over. Boom, we can go back to talking about Predator, where they shoot I don't know, probably 10,000 rounds into a forest for like 30 seconds straight. That part's awesome.
There's so much in all of his movies.
Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten Cop's funny.
I feel like either Kindergarten Cop or Jingle All the Way need to be on the Mount Rushmore just as an ode to his comedic work.
Correct. I think it began as unintentional comedy, and then he really leaned into it. Last Action Hero also has its moments, too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good Arnold movies, guys. It's an Ask Alone Anything Friday.
Expendables.
I'm not as into those.
I'm the same way. Where you would, if you wrote out like
his recent work hasn't been as good.
If you were to in general describe the Expendables movies, I'd be like, hell yeah, that sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. But did something about the execution doesn't quite get there.
Conan the Barbarian. I didn't really like Conan.
Yeah, I had to watch it again. I've only seen it once, but.
Paul Wheelock comments on YouTube, there's nothing funny about Stroud believing God has a plan for him, morons. Well, I think when that plan applies to being a starting quarterback as a rookie versus being a starting quarterback sitting behind the scenes of Aaron Rodgers for 3 years, again, I'm just saying I think it's kind of ridiculous to talk about it there.
No, the funny part to me is is him having to explain that God thought I was ready from day one. God thought he should wait 3 years.
So he thinks
that's funny.
Stroud is chosen and Love is less chosen. God wills it. God wills it.
God decided not pro ready, coming from the Mountain West. Right. Maybe sit a year.
Anyway, whatever. I'm going to hell. It's okay. I've accepted my fate. He's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, no Joe, just Paul. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN975 or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Some final thoughts on the Texans and Packers, Texas and Georgia, plus garbage time. I think I found somebody the Astros should add to the fold. Yeah. This guy, I think, could teach him a thing or two. It's because they've lost their fastball in one capacity. Stick around. It's Gallant and George.
ESPN 97.5.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George. I got a bad feeling about Texans-Packers. The spread is Packers by 3. I just think the Packers are a bad matchup. I do think that Texas is going to clobber the Georgia abominations on Saturday. This is nothing against the fine players in Georgia's football program. Well, the ones that aren't a part of Fast and Furious
Athens
spinoff.
Drift.
Right, Athens Drift, exactly. But I do... As someone who hates Bulldogs and thinks they're absolutely disgusting abominations to the Lord, I'm glad to see this matchup looking like it'll be rather lopsided and one-sided. That said, this is a pretty big spot for Texas.
Yeah.
We'll see. This is the biggest spot that they've been in Austin probably in a while, right? Because their big game last year was in Tuscaloosa against Alabama.
Yeah, it'd probably be the year before against Alabama in 2022.
I was at that game.
Yeah, it was a big noon game in like the second week of September. Or no. Right. Yeah, the second week of September. Terrible idea.
That was where Ewers got hurt in the second quarter, right?
Yeah.
Looked awesome.
Into the first, start of the second, Dallas Turner hit him. Yeah.
Yeah. Attacks. We were talking about what's the best Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. The best line from any of them. To crush your enemies, see them driven before you and hear the lamentations of their women. Yeah, Conan the Barbarian. Yeah, fantastic.
That is a good one. What is also, best in Ice life? To Meet You from Batman and Robin.
I totally forgot. Yeah, the comedy side of things. Batman and Robin is a terrible movie, and yet it's one of my favorites
because
works. Yeah. He's so hilarious as Mr. Freeze.
He's one of the best comedic actors.
Allow me to break the ice. Curse you, Batman!
He was born... Say what you want. He was born to play that role.
He was born to be an actor. It's funny. Go from bodybuilder to actor. What a story.
He has to be the only successful one, right? In that pipeline. Maybe the guy who played the mountain. Although... We don't know his name. We just know he's the guy who played the mountain. There's not really a second
it's like
hit.
Bjorn Herdern to certain or something
there's
like
not,
that.
If there's, I mean, we just ran through like 10 Arnold Schwarzenegger movies that are all awesome. Yep. That guy has one role. So,
and by the way, he was one of three different people that played the mountain.
Oh, I didn't know
there were three actors. He was
the face.
He was the fourth mountain or third mountain. Right. The season one and two. There's two totally different guys.
Oh, really?
Yep.
But does he have the helmet on?
No, he doesn't have the helmet on neither of them. It's a totally different guy.
I guess I'd never realized that. Huh.
Because I remember when they first showed the mountain, sort of the same thing in season four when Dario Naharis goes from looking like poor man's Arnold Schwarzenegger to this totally different looking guy.
Yeah, Eric Bana.
Yeah, essentially, right, yeah. Oh, God. I kind of want to watch some Arnold movies right now.
Yeah.
I think the Astros should think about adding somebody to the mix. Now, I don't know how many people pay attention to chess, but the Spanish team championship was playing for the title of chess, and it's been overshadowed by some cheating. 22-year-old Ukrainian Kirill Shevchenko, who has been playing for the Romanian Chess Federation since 2023, was excluded from the championship after two rounds, and both of his game results were canceled. Why? He left his seat unusually often in the second round to visit the toilet. The person he was playing against became suspicious, complained to the ref. Every time Shevchenko returned from the toilet, he made several moves without thinking twice and then disappeared again. The arbiter looked into the matter and realized Shevchenko always disappeared into the same cubicle in the toilets and stayed there for long periods of time. So he had a phone there, he was pretending to take a dump, and he was going and looking at moves.
Oh my God.
Chess, not checkers, am I right? And this guy, I think, would be a welcome addition to the Astros. They lost their cheating fastball. I want to cheat again. What, you want this? You want the Dodgers up 3-0 in a one-sided series against the Mets where they're winning 8-0 every game? You want the Yankees and the Dodgers back in the World Series? The Astros didn't even get to play the Yankees this year. It's time to get back to what made us great. Getting away with cheating.
By the way, this guy, like, he would have gotten caught if he was taking like a midterm in high school. Like,
yeah.
After the second time that he has to use the restroom, whoever the proctor is was like, nuh-uh.
You gotta be slicker. You gotta be slicker. By the way, I once cheated on a test. Ask Alan anything.
Wow.
I did. I feel guilty about it still. People were suspicious of how high my score was, and I never cheated on anything again. Because I realized, like, wow, you really got away with one. You should not have done that.
Well, how'd you do it?
I had my notes on the ground under this big table that had a... Basically, it was a science class.
Oh, okay.
They're very elevated desks, and at the bottom, it was essentially like this,
like a chemistry thing.
You couldn't see underneath it.
Oh,
so I just had my notes on the bottom. I dropped my pencil twice.
Huh?
Did I need to? No, I did study for it, but I could have gotten expelled.
Yeah, hey, Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before steroids.
I shouldn't have done it. Should have done it. The funny thing is, the next test I did, I think he was suspicious because I changed my handwriting in the middle of it. I went from writing in English to, or, you know, like cursive to print. Yeah, and he was suspicious. Thought someone else
did
it.
That is suspicious.
I know. Well, I think he was already suspicious.
Yeah.
And now you know the rest of the story. I feel guilty about that still. Catholic guilt, everybody. Hey, that's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George. No Joe. He'll be back on Monday. We're hoping he's having a good time in Chicago. For Sean Mapes, our texters, Twitchers, YouTubers, and we didn't have anyone call today, but we appreciate you anyway. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are up next. Have a wonderful weekend. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.